This is RÚV English Radio with Darren Adam, daily English language radio from Iceland's national broadcaster, RÚV.
Hello, it's RÚV English Radio. I'm Darren Adam. Thanks very much for your company today. Time for an episode of The Week in Iceland, coming from Akureyri in the north today. I'm with Ólafrún Erlendsdóttir at RÚV's base here in the capital of the north, and it is beautiful and snowy and bright.
Yes, beautiful day.
How long has this snow been here?
This is quite recent, actually. We've not had a lot of snow this winter, so this is from maybe last week.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it's been cold enough for it not to melt, so it's deep and crisp and even.
Finally cold enough, right. Yes. They've been struggling in Hlíðarfjall and the ski resorts
really?
Around here. Yeah, there hasn't been enough snow.
Okay.
And it's, I think they said it's the worst winter in 20-ish years in
okay.
the ski resorts up in the north, yeah.
Yeah. We've had quite a bit in the southwest, certainly, so maybe that's it's moved down to Bláfjell instead for the skiing.
Yeah.
And it's also worth just noting, I think, that we are not that far away from the first day of summer, which is, what, 6 weeks away, something like that?
Yes, that sounds right.
It usually snows on the first day of summer.
Mm, yeah, so it's almost a rule.
Yeah, so if you are downheartened or disheartened that it's not been snowing, we've still got the first day of summer to go, and it always snows then, so it'll be fine. Let's take a look at some stories, then, that have been taking place in Iceland over the last couple of days, the last week, in fact. And a big story in the north of Iceland is what's happened in Blönduós. This is the slaughterhouse, or the company that owns the slaughterhouse there, that's laid off, I think, 23 staff.
Yeah, we said 23 at first, but they actually just corrected us this morning. It's 22 out of 27. Yeah.
Okay, equivalent to about 3,500 people losing their jobs in Reykjavik, if you scale it up. That's how much of a difference it's going to make to a town the size of Blönduós.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was the mayor in Húnabyggð that said this, and it's... I mean, it's a fair comparison, I think. It's a huge, huge event for such a small place. I think it's around 1,300 people that live in the whole of Húnabyggð, Blönduós being even smaller because there's also the countryside and the people that live there. So it's a huge, huge event.
But the slaughterhouse is going to stay open.
They say there's going to be some minimal projects, and I think it mostly has to do with just finishing up what's still going on there, from what I hear.
Can those staff find work elsewhere within that company? Maybe not at that slaughterhouse, but do they have any other operations in other parts of the country?
That's what the company, Kjarnafæði Norrlenska, says, that they, at least for a while, they're going to offer them work in other places here in the north, but from the people I've spoken to, it doesn't sound feasible for everyone, since there's, I mean, if people from Blönduós want to come to work in Akureyri, that's going to be almost 4 hours of driving every day. So it doesn't sound like much of a solution.
No, and even Route 1 in the winter, I mean, I was in Varmalíð yesterday recording something, and coming back, it's about an hour and 15 minutes, I think, from Varmalíð on Route 1. But, you know, it doesn't take a lot of snow or a lot of wind or a lot of the two things together to really increase your journey time. Mm-hmm. And if people are having to do that day in, day out, of course, that's not really a practical solution, is it?
Yeah, and there are mountain roads between these places. So even if the weather in Akureyri or Blönduós is fine, the roads can be treacherous.
Can be very much not fine, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, thoughts with anyone affected by that, of course. And did this come as a surprise, do you think, to people in the town? It seems to have been a real shock.
I think the shock was that they decided to lay off so many and stop almost all operations. There had been talk for some months before this that they would cut down at least some of their operations, but the scale was what surprised people, I think. And of course, they were hoping this wouldn't be the case, since it's one of the biggest companies in Blönduós, even though it's not very big. It's still, and in a place like Blönduós, there's, I mean, if you're just realistic, there's not many other places of work that these people can go to.
No. And I suppose if people have been working in this all of their lives as well, the chances to retrain are pretty slim.
Yeah, I mean, I spoke to one of the employees that was laid off yesterday. She said she will be fine. She's a farmer. This was just one of her side jobs. But she's really worried about some of her co-workers because the people that worked in the slaughterhouse, it's mostly people of foreign origin. Icelanders don't really want to work in slaughterhouses, so yes. It's people of Polish origin, a lot of them. And many of them come from the same homes, so it's maybe both parents in a family that lose their jobs
on
the same day.
This is devastating, absolutely devastating.
A lot of people that settled in Blundos and were starting to become real participants in that community, so it's...
Well, we hope that that becomes a good news story, or at least a better news story at some point, and I'm sure everyone involved wants that to be the case. We sort of touched on connectivity there and how easy it is or otherwise to get around Iceland. Really shocking news for a lot of people this week from Icelandair that the flights, the regular flights from Reykjavik to Ísafjörður in the Westfjords are going to end at the end of next year, as things stand, or at least Icelandair are going to stop running those flights. And it's all to do with the size of the plane, because if you've flown into Ísafjörður, it's quite an exciting landing, isn't it? The plane has to do a 90-degree turn and then land between the mountains or right next to the side of the mountain. It's great fun. But you need a small, agile plane to do that. They currently share one of those planes with the Greenland routes, or some of the routes to Greenland. Greenland are increasing the size of their runways, which means that bigger planes will land there, which means that the only use for these small planes will be the flights to Ísafjörður. And long story short, Icelandair have decided that's not worth keeping them running for. However, that's going to leave people in Ísafjörður without this lifeline route to the capital.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't believe it when I first heard about it. I thought, no, Ísafjörður, no way. I think the person who told me... when they were first hearing about it, I said, no, it must be some other place. It's Bíldudalur or something, not Ísafjörður.
Or Gjögur or something like that.
Yeah. But it's, I mean, it's their lifeline, like you say, to Reykjavik. I'm sure the government will step in and someone else will take over. I don't see any other...
But there must be some other airline operator rubbing their hands thinking, well, this is, we will just run this. We will concentrate on running this route to Ísafjörður, back and forth to Reykjavik.
The routes like to Vestmannaeyjar, Húsavík and all these places, it's been contracts off and on, off and on, and different airlines taking over. And all of them have been saying pretty much the same thing. We cannot keep doing this without more support from the government.
Well, so, if not profitable, then certainly viable with that support from the government.
Definitely, with governmental support. I mean, I'm sure that will be the where they end up.
Do you think that there will be pressure on Icelandair to continue being that airline, though? Because if it's going to take government support, some people might say, well, why not just, you know, make sure that Icelandair keep doing it? They've got the plane already.
I mean, it makes a lot of sense that Icelandair keeps doing it. Also, I mean, just not that this has anything really to do with the planes or anything, but it just feels like Icelandair has these stops in the main Egilsstaðir, the main main town in the
Akureyri,
east, Akureyri, capital of the north, and then Ísafjörður for the Westfjords. It just... It makes sense that it stays this way, but who knows?
Well, when I flew to the Westman Isles, it was a long time ago. The last time I was there, I took the ferry. Last couple of times that I was there, I took the ferry. But I have flown before.
They've also been, these contracts have been going back and forth between different airlines, especially in Vestmannaeyjar. They've been, it's changed a lot over the years.
There's maybe a conversation then for the country to have about how important it thinks that these lifeline services are and whether we actually want these places to be connected to everywhere else around the country. And if that costs a bit of public money, I think some people would say, well, that's probably worth doing. And then you've got the whole conversation about what happens to the domestic airport in Reykjavik with the trees being cut down to make that viable and whether it should move somewhere else. So I think we're going to be talking about domestic flights for some time, I would suggest.
Yeah, I'm sure. And also, if you would talk to the people of Ísafjörður, I'm sure they would tell you if they lose their flights, they should at least get proper transport on land, because the roads in the Westfjords are, like we know, not in the...
No, and a lot of that is, you know, even if you were to resurface all of those roads at great expense, the geography is still something you can't get over because you've got the fjords to drive around.
Really challenging,
If you've never driven that road, imagine the sort of fingers of your left hand and you're tracing up and down as you go around all the different waterways. Mm. So there's just a lot of distance apart from anything else. And that's why the flights are so important. Here in Akureyri, the international airport is, of course, expanding. There are flights to Manchester and Gatwick, I think, in the UK and other international destinations as well. And the airport has got bigger recently, I think, hasn't it?
Yeah, we got the new arrivals terminal, and we have a small little duty free now, which is really fun. I mean, the airport is, in my opinion, it's sort of strange flying back and forth between Reykjavik and Akureyri now, because the Akureyri airport is
better,
so much better than the capital airport.
Yes, it really is, and that's a journey you make quite often, isn't it?
Yes, working here in Akureyri, I go and work in Efstaleti a couple times a year.
Yes. All right, well, let's turn to Sandgerði. Let's go back to the southwest of the country. The mayor of Sandgerði saying that storm surges, like other floods, should be covered by the Avalanche and Landslide Fund. And this is after the coastal area, the coast in the town there, was inundated with water during the extreme weather. The coastal defences were inadequate. There's an area there, Nauthagi, which is where holiday homes are. They were surrounded by seawater. The town's seawall was breached as well. And he's making the point, as I say, that this is a natural disaster. It should really be treated like an avalanche or a landslide. At the moment, it's not.
Yeah, I mean, the images I saw from our colleagues in the southwest were pretty shocking. It's a lot of damage.
There's a lot of coastline as well. There's 30 kilometres of coastline there, so there's a lot to defend.
Mm.
And, I mean, it seems like he has a point. He says, we've argued that storm surges are natural disasters. There is an existing fund, as we say, which is for snow and landslide. We've pointed out that these storm surges should be in the same category. There was some pretty tough weather in the southwest. Did you get much of that here in the north?
Some, but it was different. It was what we would call more of just a classic snowstorm here in the north.
Just but snow.
Just snow, yes, and a lot of wind. But none of this, none of the floods, no, not here.
Yes.
Not this time, but in the last, I think when we had the red level weather warning last time, we had some floods here as well. That's been an issue in Akureyri too. In Eirin, the lowest part here down by the harbour, they've been having similar issues too.
Yeah, that red alert caught a lot of people by surprise, because it started off as a yellow in the middle of the week, and by the end of the week it was red, and so I think all of the country at some point was either orange or red. But we sometimes think of the north of the country as having more calm weather. Maybe during the summer it's more calm and it's a bit warmer as well.
Or
does it change just all the time?
I think it's fair to say that we have more seasons here. I feel like winter is colder and can be a bit crueler here, but we have often hotter and sunnier summers as well. And I can say this because I lived in Reykjavik. I know people from Reykjavik don't love when northerners talk about their weather being better, but I can say this, it's a fact. I lived in Reykjavik for 25 years.
Yes.
So,
well, I like the cold weather. I like the snow. So if I came here, it would be for the winters, not for the summers.
Yeah. We have plenty of snow usually, except for this winter.
All right. Let's talk about Ash Wednesday, which, as we have our conversation, was 2 days ago, Öskudagur. And that is a traditional day for dressing up here in Iceland if you are a kid. As well as Halloween, you've got a sort of spring version of Halloween, which is Ash Wednesday. And certainly in Reykjavik, our colleague Ragnar Visaj was down at one of the main shopping centres in the capital, Kringlan, taking loads and loads of photographs of kids dressing up as all kinds of characters. I think there was even a couple of kids who dressed up as our colleagues Boi and Joanna Vigdis from Pretoria.
Yes, I saw them. Adorable, adorable.
Any of the staff here been impersonated by...
I don't think so, no. We don't have the same celebrity status as Boi and Johanna. But we had some people knocking on our door on Öskudagurinn.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think Fréttastofan in Efstaleiti has a lot of singers in the newsroom on Öskudagurinn, but this is a pretty small place of work, so we have to pause our work calls and stuff when the kids come in and sing.
Is that why? Because I saw there's a bowl of nammi still.
Yes,
is that
a
why
huge bowl
there?
Of nammi. Okay. Yeah, we always buy too much, but yeah, that's
so why. That's a big tradition everywhere then.
Yeah, the whole country. It's a bit different in the smaller towns. They've sometimes been doing it more similar to Halloween, where the kids go to the houses because there's not that many places of work to visit. And not as many companies or stores, so they knock on people's doors there.
And one of the most popular costumes was the brothers' vibe.
Yeah.
The silver suits and the sunglasses. And apparently they had some made. They're, you can get like official vibe jackets, but they all sold out really quickly. One of the party shops was saying that any sort of silver jacket was selling out because people just wanted to dress up as our Eurovision entry this year.
Yeah, I mean... I mean, of course, they look amazing in the silver outfits. And also, it's a. I just remember when I was dressing up for Öskudagurinn, and one of the main things we had to keep in mind is also dressing warm and comfortably for the weather. And if I were a parent dressing my kid for Öskudagurinn, vibe would be perfect. Just dress warm and then the silver clothes over.
The silver clothes, they look a bit like those plastic jackets that marathon runners wear to keep them warm at the end of the run. You know, the ones I mean, like the space blankets. So you actually, that wouldn't be a bad thing to wear in cold weather.
No, I think it's really nice.
Yeah. When I got here yesterday, I realised that I hadn't taken any sunglasses with me.
Mm-hmm.
And it was pretty sunny. I hate driving when the sun is in my eye, and that happens a lot, of course, at this time of year. So I went to Flying Tiger in Glerotok to get a pair of cheap sunglasses. And I bought a pair of cheap sunglasses. And then I put them on and realised, oh, my God, I look like Vibe's dad. Because they've got these... I thought they were quite nice for driving because they've got these big sort of visor. I put them on and realised, oh, no, that's not good. So I think I've worn them for the first and last time.
You should take it the whole way and get the matching outfit as well.
Well, if I'm going to commit to it, I suppose I'm going to have to do that now, really, aren't I? Eurovision is not that far away, of course. Yeah. Vibe are the entry. And just a word on that, is it still popular, do you think, Singverkeppnin and Eurovision? Will you be paying attention? Were you paying attention?
Sure, yeah. I think it's especially, Vibe seems to be one of the most sort of kid-friendly groups we've sent in a while. So I think from what I've seen, the kids love them. And I think there's going to be a lot of excitement this year, I'm sure.
Yes, I think so.
I don't think I've seen kids going this crazy about our Eurovision maybe since Sylvia Nótt. That's the last time I think kids were dressing up as much as they did for Öskudagurinn this year. That was the in 2006, I think it was.
Yes.
And everyone was Sylvia Nótt.
But I think just before I was here, kids were dressing up as Hattari, which is a weird look because that's a slightly, you know, adult bondage kind of, maybe not
as kid friendly, but the kids definitely went there. Yeah,
really went for that. It was a very, very strong entry for Iceland, of course. Yeah. Maybe Vibe will be a strong entry as well. And we're not that far away. Well, we're about an hour away, I guess, but on the north coast, if you head along to Husavik, that is where you'll find the Eurovision Song Contest Museum, which is now going to operate there for another 3 years, I think.
I think had some great success. Yeah. So good
it's
on them.
Highly recommended. I've been there a couple of times, and Orly will look after you and the rest of the team as well. So that has been the week in Iceland. Well, it's been about 5 days because we're actually having our conversation on Friday. But I guess the next big story will be the eruption in the southwest of the country, which, as we sit here, has yet to happen. As things stand, 2:22 on Friday afternoon, there has not been an eruption. Famous last words. Olaf, we'll talk again. Thanks very much indeed.
Thank you.
It's the week in Iceland on Aruv English from Akureyri. And you can get in touch with Aruv English anytime. English@ruv.is.
There is more from Aruv English with all the news from Iceland in English at ruv.is/English. Aruv English Radio is a daily English language radio from Iceland's national broadcaster, Aruv.